Praise God. Praise God for all he's doing. Pastor Andrea has a word that will facilitate the life and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I know that this is what the Spirit's saying to us at the moment. And I know that hearing the word, faith is going to come. And you're going to be enabled to walk with God supernaturally. So I know this is going to be good. Enjoy.
Thank you, Jesus. Right. Well, we've been with the Lord, but I'm going to just ask you to pray now. Just close your eyes. Just continue to focus on Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we will know the hope of our calling, the riches of Christ in us, what you've placed in us, our amazing inheritance. Lord, let this be more than words, but I pray, Amen. Father, that it will just be a catalyst for your will in our lives, Lord, the activity of your spirit, the uniting of our will with your will so that you can really have your way in and through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. In case you haven't been here in the last few weeks, you've probably picked up already, but the Lord is really saying that we need more of the Holy Spirit, more activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's a fresh infilling. You know, in Ephesians 5, it talks about being filled, but the translation in the Greek, it means like a go on being filled. It's not meant to be a one-off. We're to be filled and to go on being filled. And that is really what the Lord is saying to every single one of us. You need more of the Holy Spirit. Just say to the person next to you, you need more of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, we do. Because, you know, he's given to us, isn't he, for more than Sundays, for every day of the week, for every area of life. He's amazing. He is able to help us in all the things, or everything, things we find difficult, things we don't. But, you know, if you think about the things you find difficult in your life, they'll be different to the person beside you. But he helps you in those things, you know, so that you can do them without getting stressed and yes. puffing and panting and losing your patience and rolling your eyes. He helps you in those things if you let him. Yes. There's the point, isn't it, if you let him. And I've given the title of this message. It really is a does what it says on the can kind of thing. It's being led, or how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because we need to be. You know, we should live our lives completely differently to non-Christians. I know we know this, but whether it works out that way or not, different levels of success in all of our lives, but we need to be more led by him. You know, non-Christians, they really are, because they can't help it. They're led by their physical senses, what they see and what they hear and what they reason. Mostly led by their minds. There are, of course, more emotional types who are led by how they feel. People call them sensitive, don't they? And I... To be honest, if somebody describes themselves as sensitive to me, I just think, oh, heck, it's trouble, you know? Because they're not talking about being sensitive to the Spirit. They're talking about being sensitive to their emotions and their environment. And frankly, that really does spell trouble. Because, well, the Bible calls it walking according to the flesh. Yeah. You know, it's just a recipe for disaster. It causes so much stress and de-stress and headaches and arguments in our lives, and the Lord is wanting to lead us out of that. It never leads anywhere good. Romans 8, verse 6 says this: to be carnally minded is death. It's about as far extreme in the bad scenario as you can get. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we all want more of that, don't we? Life and peace. We all need more life and peace. We all want more life and peace. And, you know, no one in their right mind would choose a day of death, would they? You wouldn't wake up in the morning and think, oh, you know, I'll have a day of disaster and distress today. Mix it up a bit. You know, see how bad I can really make it for myself and everyone around me. You don't choose it. You don't consciously choose it. But unconsciously, we do. Don't we? Come on, let's be honest. We all do at times unconsciously choose that when we let our unrenewed minds lead and our unruly temperamental emotions lead. And we really just need to get off that roller coaster of the flesh. I urge you, I am endeavoring to do this myself. Just live the Jesus life. Live led by him, days of life and peace. It's not that they're trouble free, but in the trouble, you've got a guide on the inside that enables you internally to stay at peace. Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. The NIV translation of that says the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord. See, it's got a little S. It's really important you notice when you read spirit, has it got a little S or a big S? Capital S or lowercase S? Small S is your human spirit. Big S, spirit of God. Okay? So the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord. We all have a human spirit. Everybody ever born is born with a spirit. If you're born again, you have the spirit of God within your spirit. But we're meant to be led from the spirit. What that means is the Lord will enlighten us or guide us, not through our minds, not through our emotions, but through our spirits. Through our spirits. Nowhere in the word does it say the Lord will guide us through our minds. It's really important we know that. Our minds are to be renewed to think like God, because then they're a source of blessing. But the guidance or the enlightenment comes further south. It comes from your spirit. I know some of you know this, many of you know this, but it's important that we really have this reminder, because it's so tempting to let your mind lead, isn't it? Work it out, reason it with your head. No, we should be saying, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Question it. What's my spirit saying in this? In many places, the Bible speaks of the heart, and when it's speaking of the spirit, and one of the things that I do, because it just helps me, when I see the word heart, I substitute it for the word spirit, human spirit, okay? For example, Romans 10:10, for with the heart, it says, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. With your spirit, you believe. With your heart, you believe. With your spirit, you believe. Okay, your spirit is the place where you have faith, where faith operates. Now, you've heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it because it's something else I find helpful. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Think about that. Sitting there right now in your human body, you are first and foremost spirit. You have a soul, a personality, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in this flesh and blood body. God is spirit, and he's made us in his image. We are living, speaking spirits. You're sitting next to a living, speaking spirit. It's kind of weird, you know? Initially, when you start to think about it, it kind of freaks you out a bit, but stick with it, because it's a good way, it's a God way of thinking. Yes. Helps you. And to live on this earth, we need a physical body. When your body dies, you can't be here any longer. But your spirit will go on, because spirits are eternal. Spirits never die. No human spirit will ever die. We go to live in one of two places. Praise God, though, for the assurance of knowing where we're going, knowing that we are children of God. There's a scripture in Ephesians 1. I'm going to read it together. It says in Ephesians 1:13-14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. Everyone say deposit. Deposit. Okay? I just want you to clock that. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Right? The Holy Spirit is your deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. We all understand deposit, don't we? You can put a deposit down on something, you know. I know some of the musicians up here, they might put a deposit, for example, on a guitar. You might have put a deposit on a car. It's saying, here is my first payment as a guarantee. I'm coming back for that. And when you put a deposit on something, it's yours. It's reserved for you. So the Holy Spirit is God's deposit on you, reserved for him, so that one day you will go home to be with him in heaven. Okay? Praise God. But how do we know we're children of God? How do you know? You know, you might just say, well, I just know. You got God on the inside. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Amen. Bears witness. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Amen. He communicates to your spirit. He bears witness with your spirit. And in the most important decision of life, becoming a child of God, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Sometimes you can't explain how you know you're a child of God. You just know. You've got this witness, this sense down on the inside. And the way he starts to relate to you, this bearing witness, is the way he wants to continue to relate to you, bearing witness with your spirit, guiding you through your inner man. And I want to talk a little bit about the inner witness. I'm sure we've, all of us, most of us, heard of the inner witness. And I think the best way of explaining, or I kind of understanding the inner witness, it's like an internal traffic light. Yes? Red, amber, green. Stop, wait, go. It's not a voice saying stop. It's not a voice saying wait or go. It's a sense. It's just a sense on the inside. And of course we know the Lord speaks to us in more detail. We hear his voice. But the witness of the Spirit, or the the leading of the Spirit, is a sense. And often your mind fights it. Because flesh and spirit oppose one another, don't they? Often your mind, because it can't understand it and it can't explain it, your mind's pulling you this way, but the Spirit's saying, don't go there. Don't do that. I'm on amber or I'm on red. You need to listen to the sense, the leading. And the best way, I really want to emphasize this, the best way to identify the inner witness is to pray. It's when I pray that I start to really identify where I'm at in terms of red, amber, green, what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. If you feel uneasy or even agitated, say you start to pray about something, you start to feel a bit uncomfortable, you're feeling a bit uneasy, I want to put it to you, it's highly likely the Holy Spirit is saying, red flashing light, do not go there, do not do that thing, I'm not in this. You need to walk away. Yeah? On the other hand, if you start to pray about something else, you feel really happy, really optimistic, positive about that thing. There's like there's a lift on the inside. There's peace. One of the key ways the Lord leads is through peace. Peace on the inside. It's highly likely that that's the green light. He's saying, you're on the right track. I'm in this. Go for it. This is of me. Your mind might still be fighting it, but the Spirit's like, green light, walk this way. That's the leading, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. But I do want to add a little safety thing here. The Holy Spirit will never, I know you know this, but it is well worth saying, the Holy Spirit will never be giving you a green light sense to do something if it contradicts what's written in here. So, for example, you might be feeling really optimistic about not tithing this month. But that's not the Holy Spirit, is it? That's not God, okay? But we need to pause long enough to identify, what am I sensing? Don't just rush headlong into things. What is my spirit saying? Do you know the Green Cross Code? I don't know if they use it anymore. I know we were taught the Green Cross Code at school. Do you remember? Stop, look, listen. It was created, apparently, but I'd never even heard of it, but it was created by the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents as a safe way of getting across the road. Stop, look, listen. Now, I want to put it to you that the inner witness is like that, or the way we need to respond to the inner witness is like that. Stop, look, listen. What are you saying? What am I sensing? Okay, now, never mind the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents. We have God Almighty in us, who is in us for the prevention of accidents, you know, to protect us. Protect us from minor mishaps. You know, don't put your washing out this morning, it's going to rain. To more serious things. I think I'm right in saying Cy and Jem Ballantyne in 2011 were on the M5 and were nearly caught up in that awful crash, you know, on Bonfire Night. Am I right? You were one of the last cars to get through. And I am confident they were led by the Spirit. You know, you might not even have been aware of it at the time, but the Holy Spirit would have been saying, you need to leave, and you need to leave now. Get on the road now. We need to follow that leading. Sometimes it's a voice, sometimes it's a sense. But it's really, sometimes life depends on that inner witness. So we do really need to listen. He's sent to live in us, to protect us, to provide for us, to lead us safely through life into the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. Right, now in the Old Testament, there were prophets, weren't they? And they did some wild and wacky things, and I love reading. They were called seers, weren't they? I love reading about what they did and how they operated. But the Spirit of God came upon them at certain times, and they were just anointed to see. Joe Bloggs, the general public, didn't have the Spirit of God. God's people, they were dependent. The only way they knew what God was saying is if they heard it from the prophet. It's foreign to us, but that's how they operated. But in New Testament times, we've all received the Spirit of God. We are in an, we so take for granted our position, you know? We can all be led by the Spirit. How amazing is that? Prophets today confirm and bring understanding really to what you already sense in your spirit. One of the ways you know it's a word from God is because you've got a green light, yes and amen. I didn't know that in my head, but what you've just said, that is, I have it in my spirit, okay? But he wants to lead you. Think of it. You don't have to go to a prophet to hear God. You will hear God through people who are anointed to prophesy in that way, but you hear God, and he wants to lead you every day of your life, speak to you, direct you, reveal hidden things to you. The hidden things, I love to think that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal the deep things of God. How amazing. How amazing that we can know the mind of God. Yes. Come on. Yes. Let's not get over that. Let's not get too, yeah, well, you know, it's just how it is. I'm a believer. I can hear God. You can hear God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What an awesome privilege. Yes. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God has thoughts about you. He has plans for you. Do you not want to know what they are? I mean, think of this. If you heard, I don't know, on the grapevine that your boss had plans about you, you'd want to know. You'd go, oh, what's going on there then? What's he thinking about me? What's he planning for me? Or is she planning for me? God Almighty has plans for you. Aren't you curious? Yes. Don't you want to know? Yeah. I mean, they're going to be a bit bigger and better with much further reaching consequences than anything that any human person has in mind, and we need to discover them through the word, but also through tuning in, yeah. Tuning in, listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father, and he will reveal them to us if we really want to know. Basically, if you care enough, you can know the mind of God. If you want to know, you can know the mind of God. If you pray, stop, look, listen. Pray, listen, and let him lead. His word on how to raise your children. His word on how to navigate your home life, your work life, every area of your life. Effectively win people.
Yes.
Win people around you to Jesus. Have a fruitful and fulfilled life. So that when you get to heaven, you're not embarrassed. If I can put it like that. I'm kind of thinking about that more and more at the minute. You know, one day we'll stand before him and give an account for our lives, what we have done and not done in the body. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to stand there making excuses, thinking, flipping it. I wish I'd done it a bit differently. Let's not be stupid in light of eternity, because we're all going. One thing's for sure, we're all on the journey. You know, we don't have to be weak and we don't have to be stupid. One thing Pastor Judith and I say to ourselves to encourage ourselves fairly often is, it's all right, we've got the Holy Spirit. You know, if we find ourselves lacking in some area, one of us will say to the other, it's all right, you've got the Holy Spirit. Kind of cheers each other up and cheers them on. And you know, you might not be able to work your computer, but you've got the Holy Spirit. You know, but we need to stop being so dependent, really, on the wisdom of this world. I know we need to know stuff. You know, we do. To operate in life, you need to know a whole lot of stuff. But I was just thinking as I was writing this, if we tapped into the mind of the Spirit as much as we tapped into Google, we would have a Spirit-filled, overflowing, God-blessed, super bloom life, you know, full of the provision of God, full of the activity of God. Now, I'm not saying don't use the internet, for goodness sake, you know, don't use Google, but do be selective. Yeah. Ask the Lord stuff. I do. I'm more and more, I'm asking, well, Lord, how do I do that? What should I do there? How about this? No, green light, red light, amber light, led from the inside. You know, I've read stories about people who built multi-million pound businesses listening to the witness of the Holy Spirit. Really made a lot of money through investment by listening to what the Lord's saying on the inside, you know. And so that the tithe alone facilitated masses of stuff for the kingdom of God. God is not against being rich, but he is against us being greedy. Calls it covetousness, which is idolatry. And another thing it says about that, while we're on it, you pierce yourself through with many sorrows. He's saying don't go after wealth. You know, do what you're called to do. And if you make a lot of money, praise God. But don't live for that. Live for him.
Yes.
Can only have two masters. You either serve one or the other. So we need to develop this habit, don't we, of listening to him. Really listening. I mean, he's so practical. He'll talk to you about what to buy, what not to buy. Really, what to eat, what not to eat, where to go, who to be with, who not to be with, if you will listen. Navigate you through. I've written down here, don't be led by the pattern of this world. You know, just because your work colleagues are doing something, or your competitors are doing something, doesn't mean to say you should. This world is an untrustworthy, inferior guide. You can tap into the mind of God for all the things that you are called to do and be led by him. Connect with him, really. Fellowship with him. Let him become your senior partner. Yonggi Cho says that, doesn't he? I love that. My CEO, my senior partner, the one who I get my lead from. And it comes from here. It comes from your spirit. You get understanding in your mind, but it's to your spirit first. Then your mind understands things. I want to talk a bit now about the amazing, underused gift of praying in tongues. We do that a lot in this church, and I hope you do at home, in your car, your van, in your ordinary life, because it's such an amazing, amazing privilege that we have as believers. If somebody said to you, I'm going to give you a gift that is going to so bless your life, take the stress out of your life, make you successful in every area, you would say, thank you very much, count me in, I'll have that. And that's what praying in tongues and being led by the Spirit really enables us to do. And I know we're not just saved to be blessed. The Lord has saved us really to bless others. Life goes horribly wrong when we just think about ourselves, doesn't it? But he does want to bless us. And the more we pray in tongues, or the more we pray in the Spirit, the more you develop a heart and a compassion for other people. You can pray the will of God into their lives. But one thing I am confident of is that we all underuse this gift. Remember, it's called a gift. You have it. Whether you're released in it yet or not, I don't know. I would imagine most of us are. If you aren't, we pray for you. You know, but look at Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Often we don't know what to pray for, okay? Let's admit it. We don't. We think we do. Sometimes we think we do. But we look at outward symptoms and we think, ah, right, there's a physical symptom. There's an attitude. There's a negative way of behaving. I just need to pray X, Y, Z. Whether it's about ourselves or other people. But you know, we only see the surface. We only see, it's like tip of the iceberg. We just see what's going on the surface. We're only looking at symptoms. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on deep down. He knows the root. He knows the what's. He knows the whys. Okay? And so the answer is we need to pray in tongues. We need to really pray. Look, think about a dartboard. He will get to the bullseye every time. If you pray in the Spirit, he will hit the target every time through your prayer. I love to think of that. It's never a waste to pray in tongues. Think of it. You're praying the will of God directly into that situation. And you know, we're told to pray in the Spirit and in English, aren't we? To go from one to the other. And sometimes when I pray things out in English, I think to myself, well, I never would have thought of that. And he's like, well, no, you never would have thought of that. Because you can't see what I can see. You don't know the past, present, and future, but I do. So what an amazing gift that we can pray, led by the Spirit like that. He sees everything. He knows everything. And, you know, we shouldn't assume we know the will of God. I think many mistakes are made because we just soldier on, push on through, thinking we know the will of God. Moving in a certain direction, doing things a certain way, praying things even in a certain way. But we haven't stopped to ask, what are you saying, Lord, about that then? Green cross code, stop, look, listen. You know, what are you saying? Don't carry on regardless. Just because something's been right before doesn't necessarily mean it's right again. It's this dependence, you see. He wants us to be listening, asking questions, listening, and doing what he says to do. In my own life, I've made mistakes by assuming steps 2 and 3. I hear step 1, so I hear the Lord say, do this. I'm like, brilliant, thanks very much. I'll just get on and do that then. And he's told me what, and I've assumed the how and when. And that's how we miss God. We make mistakes, you know, and we kind of have this attitude, well, I'll take it from here, Lord. You know, leave it to me. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I know you're busy. I'll just get on. You know, and it's Galatians 3, isn't it? You started in the Spirit and then you go into the flesh. And for God's sake and for our own sake, we need to stop living independent at a distance. We need to come on in close and say, okay, I'm listening, Lord. What's the next step? Brilliant. What's the next step? And what's the next step? We've been given a guide Because we need a guide. We don't just need the book. We need the book, the map, if you like. But we also need the personal guide, the Holy Spirit. And what an amazing, amazing gift it is to have him in us. And what a humbling thing to do, to pray in the Spirit, isn't it? It's humbling because your mind doesn't understand. You're out of control, or your mind is out of, you're not out of control, your mind is out of control. It's really you saying, Lord, you take over the praying then.
Yes.
I give you permission to take over my voice and pray your words through me.
Amen.
I'll supply the sound, you supply the words. Now, I know this is probably obvious to most of you, but for those of you who are more new, I was so relieved when somebody explained this to me because I just didn't get it. They said to me, the Lord, he needs your lips, he needs your tongue, he needs your vocal cords. Because I kind of thought I just stood there like this, open my mouth and it would all just pop out. And it's not like that. You know, it's a bit like singing. You've got to provide the sound. The words come up on here, right? You provide the sound when you pray in the Spirit, and the words will come from your spirit. And you just begin to pray. And it is a bit weird at the beginning. And it is a bit like launching off a diving board. You feel a bit stupid. I remember when I first started praying in tongues, it came out. This is a true story. I love a banana. And I stood there. Somebody had prayed for me and they said, go on then, go on. You can pray in tongues now. Speak. I love a banana. And then I was so embarrassed. And I thought, how ridiculous is that? Why would the Lord, God Almighty, be saying that through me? You know? But they just said, keep going, that's it, you got it, keep going. And praise God, I didn't give up there. I just kept going till it became a language in my bedroom on my own where it wasn't embarrassing. I just kept going with it. And you know, you just shouldn't be concerned about how you sound. Just give it a go, you know? And it is like a language, it's like French in a way. You learn a few words and then the whole language comes if you keep going. You just develop. But one thing I've written down here, and it's really important, think about him. Yeah. Don't have your mind, let your mind wander off onto all the things you've got to do. Yeah. You know, did I take that out of the freezer? Did I turn my iron off? Whatever it is that your mind gets preoccupied with. As you pray, think about him, honor him, give him your attention. And then the words just flow. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I know a lot of you, of course, you've been praying in tongues probably for longer than I have, but it is really important to remember this is more than just a spiritual exercise. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, a tongue speaks to God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So don't just... You know, I've heard some people when they pray in tongues, they just sound like a machine gun. You know, and it's, and they walk away. And I can imagine the Father in heaven saying to the Son, you get any of that? Do you know what I mean? Do you understand any of that? I couldn't get a word in edgeways, could you? No, not a word. It's not meant to be one way. It's not meant to be a monologue. It's meant to be a dialogue, two people talking. So when you pray in tongues, remember you're talking to God. Listen and expect him to talk back to you. Pictures. You know, when I pray in tongues, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm talking to God. I'm waiting. Am I going to get a picture of something? An impression of something? A scripture maybe? Or his now voice into a situation? Children, you know, when they're born again, we need to teach children. You can hear God. When you pray in tongues, you're talking to God.
Yes.
And he's going to talk back to you.
Yes.
And then ask them, you know, what did you hear? What did you see? Did you see anything when you were praying? Did you get a sense of anything? Just try and draw it out of them to encourage them because they can hear God. You can hear God. And, you know, if you don't get anything, you've glorified him anyway. Jude chapter 1, well, there is only one chapter, verse 20 says, beloved brethren, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. So even if you don't hear anything or see anything when you're praying in the Spirit, you just need to know, I'm getting my faith strong.
Yes.
That was not a waste. I've been talking to God. He's been strengthening my faith as I've been praying. Those 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. We can hear God, you know, in the daily things of life, in the ordinary things of life. If we will wait, stop, pause long enough just to listen. Lord, what are you saying? And I've written this down here because I hope you find this helpful. But the Lord often uses things I've already seen to speak to me. On the news, probably about a month ago, the BBC News, I saw this fly pass that happened in Sheffield. And there was this formation of planes, you know, the kind of V-shape of planes. And one of the planes, it was symbolic to the situation, the details don't matter, but one of the planes suddenly accelerated and shot off. Did anybody see that on the BBC News? Yeah. It just suddenly shot forward. And I'd been praying, Philippians 3, Lord, I want to lay hold of what you've laid hold of me for. I want to press on and lay hold of it. And it really moved me, that plane just shooting forward, like with such force, such power. And the Lord continues to remind me of that. That's my will, that you move with such a force and a power, yes, by the Spirit, amen, into the will of God, yes, for you. See, but it's natural things that he uses to speak his will, reveal his will to you so that you can pray it. You know it, and then you can pray it. Prayer's exciting. You know, when you start to see things and hear things, that's when prayer gets exciting. And the Spirit is revealing hidden things to you. But remember, it will always agree with this. If it doesn't sound like God, it probably isn't God. Let me put it to you like that. The Bible is our safety check. But when you do hear God, what confidence you've got in prayer. You know, when you have seen something and when you have heard something, you've got a whole different level of confidence to pray, haven't you? So we need the Holy Spirit. We need to value him more, and we need to relate to him more, just as you would another person. If your house was burgled and everything of monetary value was taken, you would still be rich, because your greatest treasure, your greatest asset, if I can put it to you like that, is on the inside. He's on the inside, and nobody can take him from you. So we need to become more God conscious, God inside conscious, and we need to encourage one another. You know, what are you hearing from God lately? What did God say to you last week? What have you been praying into, you know? And remember, he's a person. This is really important. You live with another person on the inside of you. He's not just a force. He has power, but he's more than power. He's power with a personality. He has a mind, will, and emotions just like you. So if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we need to become more Spirit conscious. Just say to the person next to you, I need to become more Spirit conscious. Not just body and soul conscious. Come on. We're well aware of our bodies, all the aches and pains and twinges. We're aware of our soul, what we want, what we don't want. We like what we don't like. Our preferences, our plans. We need to become more Spirit conscious. And one of the ways, I honestly do this, one of the ways I help myself with that is I say to myself, like walking around the house or out walking the dog, I am Spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. I might say it 3 or 4 times to myself. People have seen me, I know. You know, it appears as though I'm talking. Well, I am talking to myself. But it helps me, you see. It helps me become God-minded. You know, it helps me see I rule you, body and soul, by the Spirit. It helps you become more eternity-focused, let me tell you. Try it. I encourage you this week. I am Spirit as you drive to work. I have a soul. I live in a body. That order, body and soul, get under. Like Paul said, be subjected. I'm going to finish with Romans 8, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many, I love this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We can live body and soul led, according to the flesh, or we can live spirit led, out of distress, out of disaster, into life and peace. And it's our choice. You know? No, it doesn't even have to wait till tomorrow. This afternoon, it's your choice. Nobody makes us. But what a missed opportunity to spend all our days living in the flesh when we have God on the inside. You know? If we never stop and listen to him, if we never consult him on things, or, you know, follow his lead, what a missed opportunity for you personally, but also for the kingdom of God. Because after all, we're here on earth to bring his plan. We got, you know, think of it like a relay. That's how I do. You know, I've taken on the baton from the previous generation. In my lifetime then, how much am I going to see the kingdom of God advance? How much are you going to see the kingdom of God advance? I don't want to get to heaven and hear the Lord say to me, well, I'm glad you're here. But you missed it. You missed the whole point of being born again and filled with my spirit while you were on earth. You're in, but you're in by the skin of your teeth and you've not got many rewards. Heck, that's eternity of that. Let's not. Really, let's not. Let's not go through life living like non-Christians. Living life without him, basically. The good news is we've got time. We've got time to sort it from here on in. We can have a spirit-filled, spirit-led life for our blessing and his glory. Let's stand.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.